You are listening to the Regal Poet Radio Show with your host, Imone M. Prosper. Are you tired of being undervalued as an artist? Do you have a passion to sell your art but don't know where to start? Are you on a successful path but need encouragement? Tune in to the Regal Poet Radio Show, the conduit for the poet entrepreneur. Every week, we focus on topics that are set for the professional artists fully engaged in the creative economy. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, poet, entrepreneur, and the advocate for the creative arts economy. Our mission is to feed the artist who spends their life creating profound experiences within their art with the best practical and advanced practices they need to be empowered, energized, confident, and prepared. If you are a beginner, you need this. If you're a seasoned veteran, you need this. And with 12 years of experience behind me, the Regal Poet Radio Show is not only designed to deliver the best information, but this platform allows you to hear from successful industry leaders and poet entrepreneurs making a major impact in the world of poetry. What we know is that it is easy to find an open mic to perform, but there are a small number of places for the professional poet to go to learn how to build a thriving poetry career or business. Tune in to the Regal Poet Radio Show, the conduit for the poet entrepreneur, as we focus every week on the topics to help build up your entrepreneurial of the arts business. Share, leave a comment, or chat live with me, Imone M. Prosper, every Thursday, 12 noon, on blogtalkradio.com/Regal Poet, where I am committed to developing not only a respected line of professional poets, but savvy poets with additional E on the end for entrepreneur. So make your lunch hour powerful and come get poet savvy with Regal Poet Radio.
Welcome everyone to the Regal Poet Radio Show. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, and this is the conduit for the poet entrepreneur, and I am just so excited about our topic of discussion today. I'm excited because these are some of the questions that I've ran into as I am, you know, corresponding and just speaking to some of you guys that you run into. And one of the top things is always promotion and marketing, but also how we can use the media. We've seen the media at many of the art galleries, many of the festivals, many of the places that we perform, but we want to make sure that we're communicating properly. And that's what this show is about today. I have the great pleasure I went to a One Step Up program in South Florida. That's where I am here. And I ran into this awesome woman that does a lot of media training. She's actually a part of the Philips Media Relations group, and she is a vice president there. And she gave this wonderful workshop on being on camera and interviewing. Now, most of the topics she was speaking at the workshop was pretty hard-hitting, so thank goodness. As artists, a lot of the times, unless we're activists as well, we're not hitting those hard-hitting questions or having to run into those things. But, you know, just listening to her, I knew that she would be able to address a lot of the things that we have difficulty with, or we may have mastered it, but we want to always brush up. As they say, iron sharpens iron. So it's with great pleasure that I have this woman with us on the show. So our topic today is how well are you with the media? How do you do with the media? And we have Ms. Ina Jamison Mosafari on the show with us today. She, as I stated, is the vice president with Philips Media Relations, but she has an extensive journalism background as a NBC News producer and reporter. She's produced stories for such programs that we are familiar with, such as The Today Show, Nightly News with Brian Williams, and many others. And it's just with, again, great pleasure that we have her on the show today. So I'm actually going to bring her on without any further ado. Now I just have to click to have her on. 1 second.
Hello.
Are you there? Hi, how are you?
I'm here. Hello.
Can you hear us clearly?
I can hear you. Thank you.
Wonderful. Again, I say this many times, just because we love having someone of your elk, of your caliber, to educate us and assist us with this media area. It can get so gray and like this big monster that we're dealing with. But I love that anytime I speak to you, you simplify everything and really know how to educate us on media training. So thanks again for being on the show.
Oh, well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we definitely want to get right into it. As I stated in the introduction, we see the media all the time, but we feel like, based on the people that I speak with, we feel like, hey, am I communicating right? Am I doing what I need to do to leverage what I do as an artist, especially for poets, where people may have different views or experience poetry in different ways? We want to make sure that we leverage our information the best way. So I wanted to go ahead and get right into some of the questions that we have. Just want to make sure you're still with us. So the first thing, and this is something that you've really, really educated me over the months, exactly what am I looking at getting into when I'm dealing with the media? Because there's so many various styles and various types of media that we may think we're mastering, hey, this is how I speak to the news, or this is how I get in the door with news, but really we're trying to do PR work. Can you explain the differences?
Well, absolutely. I mean, it really depends on what your goal is for a particular interaction. But I like to say to work well with a reporter, you have to think like a reporter. Reporters are incredibly busy. They have a lot of assignments on their plate. They have fewer resources, rolling deadlines. There's a lot of demands on a reporter. So for you to stand out, be it to promote an event or even just to specifically promote your work, you have to understand those truths about that reporter. And once you do that, I think it really helps you then set yourself apart or at least cut to the chase. What's different about this event you're trying to promote or what's different about the work you're trying to do? Get to that quickly. Don't write long press releases, for example, or long pitch emails. They should be really short and to the point because that reporter's attention is being pulled in 20 different directions. So you have to, for lack of a better term, grab them by the throat pretty quickly, start with your headline, and go from there.
Awesome. Wonderful. Yeah, and you touched on the PR a little bit, and I appreciate that. So that, you would say, is the best way to get your foot in the media door?
Well, I mean, it really depends on what the outlet is, who the reporter is. You have to really, there's no just one media door, right? There are probably arts blogs you want to be interacting with. It could be print reporters. It could be local television stations. But you do have to know your target. So a lot of people, when they're trying to promote, say, an event, want to email 1,000 people, or when they're trying to promote their work, they want to come up with this list of 500 reporters who may have an outside chance of being interested in their work. But that's really a very inefficient way of trying to promote yourself and your work and get attention in the media. I would really strongly urge you to do your homework on a couple of reporters who specifically cover your interest or your beat, so poetry or the arts in general, and look at the work they've done. Is this the kind of thing that's up their alley? Write a personal email to them. Start to create that relationship and really narrow down that list so that it's incredibly targeted and a personal outreach to that report. It makes a huge difference. Just to give you an example, I used to be a producer at Hardball with Chris Matthews, and I booked a lot of debate segments, and I would get emails from people trying to pitch like back to school fashion to me. And, of course, Hardball with Chris Matthews is a politics show. It has nothing to do with any of that. And it was a colossal waste right. of not only their time and energy, but my time as well. And so rather than even just hitting delete, I felt angry about those emails, and I would deliberately turn that person off. So even if somebody then, if that same person came back a week later with maybe something that could have been a legitimate pitch, I was already soured on them. So...
Wow.
Yeah, you have to make sure you know who you're pitching and what you're pitching as well.
And that is something that we've spoken about in past shows, from, you know, proofreading to making sure that you meet the guidelines of that editor, because, yeah, we're all human beings. So, yeah, we'll get turned off, and even if we hate to admit it, the next time we do hear, we'll just know exactly what to expect, even if it's something different. So I'm glad that you touched on that. Now, how would you say, now I've chosen two or three reporters or outlets that I really want to target. How would you say another way outside of just personal email, should we be building a relationship with them?
Personal emails are a great place to start. I mean, when you think about the ways that we reach out to people we don't know, that's probably one of the most obvious, especially since we all live in a text message and, you know, mobile world, and that attention span is pretty limited. But following up with a call a few days later, following this person on Twitter and maybe interacting with social media is another great way to start a relationship. These are all kind of nice, unthreatening, you know, kind of, I hate to say passive ways to form a relationship, so that you're at least starting to know each other maybe before you do kind of the, for lack of a better term, the hard press, before you try calling or setting a meeting or maybe meeting for coffee or something. Those friendly, undemanding interactions, maybe on social media and via email first, are a really good way to start and not demand too much of the reporter on the other end initially.
So if I were following you, for instance, on Twitter, which I do, what would be a message that I could send that would get your attention, that you would start to, oh, okay, this person's responding again?
Sometimes it's as simple as, I saw this story you did, I thought it was really good, or in relation to this story you just wrote, I have this poem that I wrote. I mean, it's showing that you're paying attention and that you're interacting with them, that you're involved. Those types of messages really are the ones that would stand out to me. The other thing is, once you do have that kind of initial relationship with a reporter, if you want to offer them something that you're not offering other reporters, say, early access to a piece of your work that you might be showing at a show, something a little special that other reporters don't have, that is always very tempting. I mean, we always want what the other ones don't have, right? Or we want first access to something. For example, when I worked in a nonprofit, if we did a poll, I would call a couple of the most influential reporters that I cared about and say, hey, I'll give you early access to this poll or a first look at the numbers if you'll write a story about it. So it's that little give and take. I'll give you a little bit if you're going to cover this.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. That's a gem that I think everyone should be writing down really quickly. That's good. I like that. Thank you so much. Now, and that's a best practice for maintaining the relationship with a reporter as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely.
Even, like,
absolutely.
Let's say they printed. Yeah, I was saying that even if, let's say the story was done and they covered it, and you want to continue, hey, I know new things are coming up, so how can I maintain that relationship to keep it going?
Well, I think you said it right there. You say, hey, I'm working on this down the road. I'm happy to give you a first look at it when it's ready. I mean, look, there's no guarantee that a reporter is going to cover everything that you think is newsworthy. In fact, I would say there's absolutely a guarantee that they are not going to cover everything that you think is newsworthy. So you have to also take that rejection well and gracefully. Mm-hmm. And keeping in touch and saying, I'm working on this, you might be interested, I'd be happy to give you a first look, is a great way to do it. But be prepared that sometimes they're going to say no. You have to take those yeses and the nos as gracefully.
Awesome. Perfect. Perfect. Now, this is for, now we've covered, just to recap, you know, that's, I guess, my journalism background. You always want to recap, right? So we covered right now the best way to get in the door, and then we covered how to maintain that relationship. Now let's say we had a mistake that is causing that something that we cannot sweep under the rug, something that we have to deal with, a crisis as we call it. What is the best way to, first of all, what is really a crisis, and how do we come out of it looking like champions?
So every crisis is different, and you have to look at your individual crisis and take a look at what the real impacts are. I think monitoring yourself on social media is a great way to start. Look at what other people are saying and think about how much of a threat this is to your brand. Because sometimes what we perceive as maybe a crisis isn't. And then sometimes we do the opposite and don't think something's a big deal, and of course it's a bigger deal. But looking at what's being said on social media is usually a pretty good barometer of where the level of crisis is. And in the art world, my gut is that you probably have a little more leeway because of artistic expression. So before you panic, you really have to assess what's going on and how much of a threat it is to your brand. And then, since every crisis is different and the level of crisis is different, the one piece of advice that I think is just absolutely critical is that if you have to apologize, apologize the right way. Take responsibility. Make it audience-focused. So it's never, I'm sorry you were offended. It's, I'm sorry I offended you. There's a huge difference in taking responsibility or putting that responsibility on your audience. And sometimes it's fair or not, you always have to apologize in an audience-focused way. Otherwise, that apology just does you absolutely no good, and the crisis can continue.
And I think that a lot of us can resonate with that, because we've run into situations where we've had to apologize. Everyone has, it's a human thing. But to think about your entire audience and how this one apology or admission of wrong would really, really show this person does care, this person does care of my connection with them. I think that's one thing that we forget, that our brand still connects with other people, our audience, our consumers, and we have to make sure that everything we do shows that we care about them being a part of our life, basically.
Absolutely.
Now, one thing that when we were talking about this, when you mentioned exactly about the apology, that exactly the way you said it resonated with me so much, because I've heard people say that, well, I'm sorry that you got offended, and treat it as gold. And so when you told me that, I'm like, she gets it. I love that. So how do we get better at communication? How can we get to your level of communicating?
The big thing is for me is to think about how your audience is going to take in this information. So going into a communications situation, say for example an interview with messages, is great. You need to have, I like to say, three top line messages. But think about those messages as not only reflecting what you want the audience to get out of it, but what the audience needs to get out of it. So it's your goals and their needs. So many messages are always written with that individual's goals in mind. Figuring out your goals for messages is easy, but remembering that your audience's needs have to be reflected in that is a little tougher for people sometimes. And the truth is, we hear messages all day long. On average, we're exposed to about 3,000 marketing messages a day. So if your message doesn't have something in it for your consumer, a what's in it for me, then it's probably going to just fall into that ether of 3,000 messages we hear and not really stand out. So my biggest piece of advice is make sure there's something in it for your consumer.
Okay, how can we test that? How can we test that our message is not self-serving and it's good for our audience?
Well, test it on friends. Test it on coworkers. Test it on people who you focus on, your target people. I mean, our messages aren't really written for everybody, right? We have a target audience. So go to somebody who might be a person in your target audience. Maybe it's an arts enthusiast, a gallery owner, somebody who donates to artistic causes, and test your messages out on those people. Ask them what they think of it and ask if they resonate.
Okay. Now, I'm taking a step back with this question because I have to recognize that some people are starting their business. They may not have a message written out or composed, period. Where would you recommend that they would go to tailor a good message?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question? Where would I recommend they go to what?
Tailor a good message. This is either for anyone listening that has not even taken the time out to deliver their message yet. Not even just deliver, but compose a message as yet.
So composing a message can be complicated. It takes time, and it takes thought, and it takes planning. And there are a lot of really terrific resources out there to teach you how to compose a message. And one, I'll give a shameless plug, is for my boss's book. It's called The Media Training Bible by Brad Phillips, and I work for Phillips Media Relations. And the book gets into different aspects of a message and how you create your message. It's a really terrific starting out point, a very accessible book. There are two-page lessons, so I like to say it's not like homework. It's more of a resource, and it's a great place, I think, to start out when you are considering how you put your messages together. We also have a free blog. It's MrMediaTraining.com, and that also has a lot of wonderful pointers on messaging, how people talk about their message, great examples of people doing well and doing poorly in the media. It's a really great place to start.
I would absolutely agree. I have read the book. Ever since we met, I have read the book, and I love how, just like yourself, it's very simple, to the point, and it thinks about not only just, okay, this is not about you, but this is about your brand, this is about your business. I like how comprehensive the book is, and there are so many tools. You will immediately, the word Bible is like perfect for it, because it's something that you just go to. You check the table of contents, look for what you're looking for, and just go straight through there, and everything is comprised neatly for you. And thank you again for mentioning the book, and I concur with you on how great the book has been, and I personally am using it for that. What other ways can we follow you with what you do, learn more about media training tips, if anything more than just Mr. Media Training, and stay connected with you?
I tweet at PMR, like at Phillips Media Relations, at PMR Christina. And I also blog at the Mr. Media Training blog. It's a really terrific resource. It's updated every day. It's engaging. It can be funny sometimes. We also have an email list. We email twice a month, and it's highlights from the blog. So if you don't have time to, you know, look at a media training blog every day, a lot of people don't, that's fine, but email twice a month to kind of remind you or give you highlights, kind of exercise those communication muscles in your brain, is a great way to keep yourself engaged. And finally, I just want to say, beyond just staying engaged with me or following the media training blog, those are two great places to start, but as you're watching interviews, as you read stories about other artists who are in publications you're interested in, look at what they're doing. Make sure you're an active consumer of media. Never be passive again. Look at the quotes they use. Look at the questions they ask. Figure out what that person did well that you like, that you want to emulate. Figure out what they did wrong. Learn from other people's mistakes. Become an active consumer of media, because it will make you so much stronger when it's finally your turn.
And we talked about that. I was telling you that one of my favorite artists to look at is Common, and he's made a long stride when it comes to his relationship with the media. He is looked upon as a media expert for artists, and could you touch on that just a little bit more? I was really interested in your thoughts on this.
Well, as I said, I mean, there are people who have really succeed in doing interviews and in media relations, not just in the arts community, but beyond. And some of these foundational rules of communications apply to everybody, whether you are a poet doing an interview with an arts reporter or a politician on Meet the Press. So I think you're absolutely right in that you watch Common and his evolution and how he has become a real force in engaging with the media and getting not only his work out there, but his voice in other areas has been really effective. So you learn from what he's doing and then can apply it to what you're doing. It's a really powerful way to evolve your skills.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. This has been an enriching interview. I appreciate you coming on the show with us and taking time out to speak on media and media training. We will definitely follow you. And all of the information that you presented, your tips, will be on our Facebook page under Regal Poet, and including your links and your bio and your information so people can stay connected with you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
It was my pleasure as well. All right, guys. So we will continue with the show, and you're listening to Regal Poet Radio Show. Stay tuned.
I got a story to tell.
Ideas kiss similes so deeply.
That's poetry.
This is fresh, and he got
his quote.
I just got my wings.
And I was fishing.
My people is in the house.
Watch the empty pursuit of power.
Pharmaceutical scheme.
Somebody got to hear my story.
Give it up.
Russell Simmons presents Death Poetry. Poetry.
From Washington, D.C., Lamar Carey.
I'm 11 years old in the sixth grade, and I can't read. The class is so full that the teacher doesn't notice me, but I can't read. And when she finally asks me to come to the head of the class, I do everything in my power to make the class laugh.
What would you do if you knew
that they all would laugh at you. But I can't read, I can't write, I can't spell, and most of the time I don't know my left from my right. But they keep on passing me because I can dribble a ball, I can hit a three-pointer, y'all, and I can almost dunk, and I'm guaranteed to get you 13 points, but I can't read, I can't write, I can't spell, and most of the time I don't know my left from my right. And the teacher's aide says that it's the teacher's fault, and the teacher says that it's the Board of Education, and the Board of Education says that it's my parents' fault, and y'all, my parents blame me, but I still can't read, I can't write, I can't spell, and most of the time I don't know my left from my right. But on the biggest game of the school year, I was coming down the lane, get ready, do my thing, when number 13 crashed into me. And at the same time that I heard my knee snap, I seen my family dream shatter. See, they depended on me to get us out of the ghetto. So when I hit the ground, I did everything in my power not to frown. But it was just too much pain, like it ran straight to my brain. And the last thing that I remember is the doctor saying I will never run again. So now I'm asking y'all, what are my options? I can't read.
Give it up for Lamar Carey, y'all.
We now come to the end of another dynamic episode of the Regal Poets Radio Show. I truly hope you enjoyed yourselves and learned something that inspires you, educates you, and empowers you to take your art form to the next level. The pieces you have heard today will be the featured videos on our YouTube channel at Regal Poet under the Regal Poet of the Week playlist. Leave a comment and a like. More importantly, share on the social media you use or just send an email to a friend or a colleague of the playlist and of one of our Regal notes off of Facebook, also under Regal Poet. That's spelled REGALPOETE. If there's a poem you would like to share that inspired you to love poetry, a poet who fits the bill as a great entrepreneur, or a topic you would like to hear on our show, please feel free to contact us at regalpoet, REGALPOETE, at gmail.com, or leave us a voice message at 772-245-POET. That's 772-245-7638. We also like photos of our Regal Poets looking fabulous, so you can tag us with hashtag Regal Poets, where we'll find it on all of the photo apps from Instagram to Flickr. We will see it. We're on all of those. This program is being made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to be a member of the Regal Poet family, please leave a donation through PayPal with our email, regalpoete@gmail.com, as the recipient. Again, thank you for listening. Tune in next week, where we will be featuring another Regal Poet of the Week. Enjoy the rest of your lunch, and always remember what poet Walt Whitman says. There are two selves, the public self and the real self, the regal self. Regal poets say, be yourself, be regal.
Regal Poet Radio.